Johnson & Johnson is a fairly well-known company. One man who had an extended involvement or association with this company was Jim Burke. Mr. Burke, for a while, was formerly the head of a new products division at Johnson & Johnson. One of his first products was to develop what they called a child's chest rub. Well, the project was a failure. Not only was this project unsuccessful, it was a very expensive failure, and people noticed. One day, Burke was called in to see the chairman of the board at Johnson & Johnson, and the chairman said to Burke, "I want to know if you're the man that has cost this company all that money." Well, you can imagine what Burke was thinking. "I'm going to get fired." Yeah, he said, "I am that particular man." And he was waiting for the axe to fall, if you will, and the chairman of the board at the time, Robert Wood Johnson, said, "Well, I want you to know, I'm not going to fire you. I want to congratulate you." Mr. Johnson said, "If you're making mistakes, that means that you're taking risks. We will not grow unless some people take risks." So Burke was allowed to continue with Johnson & Johnson. He was able to keep his job, and finally he became chairman of the board. When we look at life, and this is true for every single individual, whether we're young or old, we sometimes fail. It may be a job failure. It may be a parenting failure. It may be a friend failure. It may be a marriage failure. It may be something else. No one is successful all the time, and that certainly includes Christians. Failure is also associated with teaching. If we ever become involved with teaching in a local congregation, we may be a substitute teacher, or we may teach on a regular basis. There are going to be times when we surely fail. You know, it's not a pleasant, it's not an enjoyable thought to give consideration to the fact that we will fail, but it is a matter that deserves consideration because it's very, very practical. Tonight, we want to consider some things related to teachers and Bible class teaching and failure. Now, again, these principles can be applied in any number of different ways, but tonight, we want to see if we can make specific application to teachers. We want to consider, for example, some of the things that may cause a teacher to fail. If we can know some of the causes for failure, then hopefully we can head some of those problems off in advance. We also want to see what we can do if and when we fail as a Bible class teacher. As I thought about this particular topic, my attention was first drawn to a story that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 14. This is a place where you may remember that Jesus talked about a man. He said if he was going to build a tower, he needed to know the cost. He needed to consider the cost before he began to build. He said if a man did not consider the cost involved in building a tower, he was going to be mocked. Verses 29 and following. Then Jesus, as he deals with this particular illustration, continues with the information in verses 30 and 31. There he says, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? You know, we can fail in something. Certainly, we can fail in teaching if we do not count the cost. If we do not consider the time that's involved, we may fail. If we do not give consideration to the commitment that is needed, we may fail. If we do not try to have a good amount of Bible knowledge, we may fail. If we fail to consider that teaching takes energy and some creativity, we may fail. Teaching is not an impossible task." I think sometimes there are people who look at that, they've never taught a Bible class, or maybe they've never taught too many classes, and they think this is just way beyond me for whatever reason. Well, that's not the case. It is not an impossible task. But we should not expect that just because someone is a teacher, that he or she is immune to fail. Teachers, as we think about failure, they may fail a little bit, or they may fail a lot. There are degrees of failure, but failure does not mean that all is lost. Failure simply means that something has not gone as it should have. And whatever that problem or whatever the problems are, that issue or those issues need to be rectified. Maybe some reevaluation needs to be done so things can be brought back on track. The next example, as I think about failure, is maybe a little bit odd as it's introduced, but I think it conveys an important point. It's information that's based on Exodus chapter 1. You may remember that at this particular time in biblical history, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were in Egyptian bondage. The Egyptians came to realize that they were outnumbered. As they looked at the number of Egyptians and they looked at the number of Hebrews, they thought, hey, things are not quite equal. There are more Hebrews than there are Egyptians, and that could be a problem for us. Since the Egyptians regarded the imbalance in the population as a threat, a serious threat, they came up with a plan. The plan is outlined in Exodus 1, verses 11 and 12, at least the first part of the plan. And the plan was to afflict the people of Israel. That is, even though there are more folks on that side of the fence, if we wear them down, if we just work them until they don't have much energy left, they're not going to be much of a threat to us. So let's go ahead and make their lives miserable, and let's wear them down. Well, that would seem to be a pretty good plan. But as you look at Exodus chapter 1, you find that it failed. Instead of getting weaker, instead of succeeding, we find that the massive nation of Israel continued to grow stronger. So because that part of the plan didn't work real well, it was retooled a bit. Well, let's get rid of some of the population. So Exodus 1, 15 and 16, the plan was tweaked just a bit. As children are born, Hebrew children, we will allow the girls to live, but the baby boys who could grow up to be soldiers, they were to be killed. People in the nation of Egypt had a plan. But Exodus chapter 1 tells us that that particular plan failed. And not only did it fail, it was a complete failure. Well, we can make a parallel point or two of application. Good teachers have plans. Oftentimes, a teacher may have some very good plans for a particular class. But even though a teacher may have some great plans, those plans may fail. This is also true as we think about it on a congregational level. It may be that a local congregation has a great overall plan for, and again, a lot of different things can be plugged in here, but tonight we're specifically thinking about teaching. A congregation may have a lot of good plans, but for whatever reason, all of the plans or some of the plans or at least a few of the plans are not executed well and they fail. Having a plan does not necessarily mean that we're going to succeed. Failure does come. When failure comes, it can come in almost any shape and any size. For instance, in a Bible class, a teacher, if he or she has a 45-minute class, may not fail for the entire 45 minutes. It may be just on a particular point. It may be a 5-minute failure or a 10-minute failure, and then things are righted. Or it's possible that for whatever reason, a teacher has an entire class that's a failure. I mean, from the very minute that the class starts, something just seems to go awry and it simply does not improve. Or it's possible for a teacher to have a prolonged failure. This class doesn't go well, the next class doesn't go well, and it becomes a habitual thing. If we're going to be a Bible class teacher, whether that's from time to time on a regular basis, one of the things that we need to come to grips with is that there will be times when we fail. And that's not to say that we want to look forward to those times or we're eager about those times or we look back and say, man, I failed tonight. I'm just so happy. Well, no, that's not a good thing. But we do need to recognize that those times will occur. All teachers fall short from time to time. Sometimes we find failure that occurs and it's not the fault of the teacher. A failure may be the result of parents. For instance, we cannot have classes if we do not have students. Those two things necessarily go together. So if you have a congregation where parents are not bringing their children, that particular class is very likely going to fail. The fault of the teacher? No. The fault of parents? More than likely. Teachers have only so much control and influence in certain situations. If children are absolutely bent on being disruptive, there are probably going to be some failures in that particular class and not necessarily related to the teacher. If parents will not help their children do what the teacher asks, there may be a failure in those cases as well. If and when times of failure come, one of the things that we'll see from the scriptures tonight is that we want to dust ourselves off. We want to get back up, and we want to get back on that horse and continue moving forward. Failure, and again, this is true in every part of life, but especially as we think about teaching, failure does not mean that we quit. It does not mean that we give up. It means that we realize that this direction is not working. Therefore, we need to try this direction and see if that is not the way in which we can succeed. Teachers, I am persuaded, may sometimes look at other teachers, and they may not verbalize this, but I believe it's rattling around their heads. They look at other teachers and think, man, I've had some failures. But as I look at the teacher over here, or the teacher over here, or the teachers that I had earlier in life, I do not believe that they ever failed. I'm in sort of this failure category, and nobody else has ever faced that. Some teachers, it may seem, have success in every single class that they teach. Or a person may think, well, hey, there's an elder, or there's a deacon, or there's a preacher, and those fellas never fail when it comes to teaching. Well, those points are simply not true. That may be the perception of some people, but that is not accurate information. If you have any preacher or any elder and you ask them this question, they should be honest with you. And if they are, they will tell you that there are times when they fail. Even the Bible shows that this is not good thinking. Why not, for our next reference, turn over to the book of Mark. Read the Transfiguration in more than one spot, but one of the places where it occurs is in Mark chapter 9. just a minute, we're going to be reading Mark chapter 9, verse 18. Now, as we look at Mark 9, 2, we find that Peter, James, and John, three men who were in Jesus' inner circle, went with him. And while these four men, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, were on the mountain, we have the other disciples at the base of the mountain. These nine disciples, as they're at the base of the mountain, meet up with a crowd. In this particular crowd is a father, a dad who has a son who's very ill because the child is demon-possessed. The nine disciples at the bottom of the mountain, we don't know if all nine tried, but at least as a group, they had tried to cast out the demon, and they failed. Now, bearing that in mind, let's see what's said in Mark 9, verse 18. Now, this is Jesus. He and the other three have come down, and the man is saying this to the Lord. And wheresoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down, and he foameth and grindeth his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples, that would be the nine, that they should cast it out, and they were not able. Now imagine, if you will, how the disciples, the nine men, must have felt when they failed. Here were the fellows who were the personal disciples of Jesus. They were the very men, Judas aside, who were going to be the leading teachers and evangelists a little bit later in the church. We, as we look at the lives of these men, find that previously they had engaged in various supernatural signs, including casting out demons, but this time they failed. Not only did these men fail on this particular occasion, but give consideration to whom a failure was in front of. It was not in front of a couple adults. It was not in front of a group of children. But these men failed in a crowd. There were adults, and these fellas failed in the midst. But that's not all. Back up, if you will, to what's said in Mark 9, verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great multitude about them, and scribes questioning with them. There were also scribes at the base of the mountain, people who were not friendly to Jesus and the apostles. So here were some men, again, not a teaching situation, but a religious situation. These men failed in front of the Father, failed in front of the crowd, failed in front of their enemies. These men not only failed, but they failed badly. Can you imagine how humiliating it must have been for those nine disciples? We could not do it. And here comes Dad, tracing up to Jesus. I asked, they tried. They failed. The evidence is in. It had to be a time of great shame, and I suspect that these fellows remembered this particular event for a long, long time. Well, what did this failure cause these nine men to do? Did they pack up their bags and go home? Did they say, well, this didn't work, so Jesus, we quit? No. As we continue to look at the New Testament, we find that they continued on. Consider also this point. Did Jesus tell these men, well, you failed, and because you didn't succeed, I'm going to terminate you? You nine are a bunch of losers, and I'm going to find me some other apostles because you fellas just aren't cutting it. That's not what the Lord did. These disciples were not losers. They did fail. No question about that. But the failure was something that they could learn from. And apparently, as we look at the rest of the record in the New Testament, they did learn from the failure. Today, when teachers fail, an eldership is not out to dump the Bible class teacher. It's not three strikes and you're out, or two strikes and you're out, or one strike and you're out. What is desired is precisely what Jesus does on this particular occasion. That is, help the person, in this case the teacher, get back on the horse and keep riding. When it comes to Christianity, failure does not mean that we stop doing what we're doing. And again, that's true across the board. It may not necessarily relate to someone from the standpoint of teaching, but they fail in some other aspect of the Christian life. You just give up? Do you just toss in the towel and say we're through? No. Think of Peter. Luke chapter 5. Here's another passage where we want to make sure that we read a little bit of the text. And as you're turning there, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of insight about the context. We sometimes fault Peter for the mistakes that he made, and he made some big errors as we look at his life. But when we look at Luke 5, especially verse 5, we find, I think, some insight, some understanding why Jesus picked this particular man. Luke 5, verse 5. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I will let out the nets. When you look at the context, you find that Peter had been fishing. He'd been out fishing for a long time, many hours. Nothing had happened. It had been a complete failure. And Jesus gets into the boat. He teaches for a little while, and he says, Peter, I want you to put out. And now that we're out, I want you to put the nets out, and I want you to put them down deep. And Peter says in verse 5, we've been out all night. It was a failure. Nothing was caught. But Lord, at thy word, I'll do it. Well, if we look at the rest of the account, we find that Jesus' word was exactly right. When Jesus was out with them, these men caught a lot of fish, so many fish that the nets were breaking. We may fail in life not once, not twice, but many times. And when those times come, the principle in Luke chapter 5 applies. We want to continue to try and try again. God is a loving God. He's a merciful God, and he tells us to keep going. And that is good, good news in every part of the Christian life. Many things can cause a teacher to fail. I've seen, and maybe you have as well, a teacher get angry in a Bible class, and there were consequences from that. There's a problem, such as that maybe in a child's class, and that's certainly a difficulty, but especially in an adult class. Well, hopefully we can avoid those times. We never get ourselves into that particular situation, but even if we do, whether it's a child's class or an adult's class, that does not mean that we're washed up. Or it may be the case where a student fails in a class. He or she does something that should not be done, acts in a way that's very unchristlike. They reflect badly, or they reflect on their actions a little later. They realize that they behaved in a very bad way. And I've seen cases where people, as they thought about what they did, oh, well, I'm never going to go back to that class because I'm too embarrassed. No, that's the wrong kind of thinking. Yes, you failed. You did not act as a student should act, but the right response is that you need to recognize that failure and correct things. Not long ago, this was a new idea for me, I guess, and a very creative idea. But not long ago, I learned of an adult Bible class teacher who had a serious problem in adult Bible class. I mean, it was a big blow up. Things at this particular congregation were really on edge. We'll just say it was on a Sunday morning. The teacher was thinking, well, we're going to continue the discussion the next class, which I'm going to say for the sake of the illustration, Wednesday night. It could have been the following week. And as he described the situation, he said the congregation was like a powder keg. Everybody was just waiting to go off. I mean, everybody was thinking the next time that we get together and this subject is discussed again, it was bad last time, but this time it's really going to blow up, and I just don't know what's going to happen. And I said, well, I'm kind of curious about the outcome. What happened? The man said, well, and it was an adult class, he said things went really, really well. And I said, well, how'd you go from a powder keg situation to everybody being relatively peaceful? He said, I thought about it for a while, and it turned out about 2 weeks later, I saw this in an email from another source. But he said, before I went into that class, he said, I got a huge Band-Aid, and I put it on my chest. He said he came in, he went into that particular class, and he opened the class with words such as these. Last time we met, there were some members of the class who were wounded. There were some people who suffered greatly, and I think that there are some people, some members of this class, who are still hurting. He said, we need to find a way to heal the hurt. We need to come together. Now, in that particular class, there were some people, obviously two sides and maybe more than that, that were just ready to go at each other's throat. Shouldn't have happened, but that's the way that the situation turned out to be in this particular place. And even though they were ready, prepared for a fight, things immediately calmed down and things were okay. Had that man failed in the previous class? Well, he did. But he didn't say, I'm through, I'm quitting. I'm done. Somebody else pick up and you take it from here and good luck. He found a way to correct the issue. You know, teachers can fail for so many reasons. Sometimes they fail because of doubt. Well, it may be a personal doubt or maybe some other kind of doubt, but in those cases, again, the principles are the same. We recognize the problem and we seek to find some kind of solution. Failure may come through ignorance. Person simply does not know. Well, again, there's a solution. We find out the things that we need to know. Ignorance can be overcome by knowledge. Failure can come by stating things in a poor way. Happens to all teachers at one point or another. Well, again, in those particular cases, we can go back and clarify things. There are 1,001 ways to fail in a teaching situation and in other cases, and there is not any one of those ways that's fun. I failed from time to time. It may be a sermon, it may be a Bible class, and I know that failure can embarrass a teacher. And if you're embarrassed, if you fail, well, join the club. It can frustrate a teacher. It can depress a teacher. But you know, when you look at the passages that we've talked about tonight, we find again and again that God's people do not give up. If you talk to some of the best teachers that you've ever had throughout the years, you will find that they have failed at various times. Tonight, I want to suggest to you that failure is one of the things, if people learn from it, that makes a teacher great. We learn what does not work so we can use and do what does work. We may fail in many things in life, and I mean there is a whole list. But you know, in the end, there's only one thing that counts, and that is our relationship with God. If that's not right, and we fail on that point, we've truly failed. Tonight, as we think about failure, think about that ultimate failure. Standing before God on the day of judgment, unprepared, and God says, you failed. You may have failed, you became a Christian, and then for whatever reason just kind of shelved the faith. How sad to hear, you knew the right way. You're on the road for a while, and you failed to continue to do what was right. To think about that for eternity, to know that we were so close. Or failure can come from the other way. A lot of people believe in Christ, and that's good, but belief alone is failure. Some people believe and they're willing to change their lives, and that's good. But if that's where it stops, that's failure. Some people will believe, some people will repent, and some people will even confess that Christ is Lord. All those things are good. All those things are necessary. But all those things lead to failure. There is a fourth, there is a final step. That is recognizing that not only Christ is Lord, but to put him on. And the Bible says that we do that by being baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for in one spirit were you all baptized into one body. Or as Paul stated it in Galatians 3:27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ, we do not want to fail when it comes to being a Christian and being a faithful Christian. Tonight, if you know that you're not on the road to success because you've not become a Christian, or you're not continuing to live a dedicated Christian life, get off the road of failure. And if we can help you do that, we let us know. And let us know now as we stand and sing the selected song.
Be richly clad. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation. For whosoever will. All things are ready. The door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God for salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. You can come to the front and be served at this time. Okay. Are there any announcements that should we make? We'll have a visitation meeting after our closing prayer, if you could stick around in the front for that.
Fred? Teresa got notified she's got a grandfather in California, and he is seriously ill. We're thinking we're going to not make it.
Okay. So. If you didn't get that, Teresa's grandfather is seriously ill. In California. Okay, well, we turn to number 579. Let's stand again as we sing this song. We'll just sing the first and third verses and then have our closing prayer. 579.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee.
That's great. God, we are thankful that we were able to be here today, and we give you the glory for that and for the other blessings that that pass our attention so often. Pray you'll be with those who were not able to be with us today. Return them to their health, and if they're traveling, please guide them safely. Pray that you'll be with our leaders of our congregation here. Pray that you'll give them wisdom and the decisions that they make for our group. Pray that you'll be with the leaders of our country and give them the wisdom to know how to direct our country toward you. Pray that you'll be with the leaders in our families, and pray that especially parents can be diligent in leading their children to you. We do pray that you'll be with those who are serving you in foreign countries from their home. We thank you for people who are willing to do that, and we pray that you'll help us to be supportive of those people as we have opportunity. We thank you for Brad and the work that he does as our minister here. I pray that you'll give him the courage that he needs to do his job. I pray that you'll be with the deacons and the work that they've been assigned. And we thank you that we have such examples as that. As we look toward this next week, we pray that you'll help us to be good at spotting an opportunity where we can show your love to the people around us. I pray that you'll help us to do that and to share your word and your will for them. I pray that you'll help us to be good examples to the people who watch us. Through Jesus that we pray. Amen.
some cards here. Joanne Perrin is one of them. Joanne Perrin?
I'll send you a card.
Okay. Jamie Wright? Serge Jarrett? Right there. Jamie Perry, you get to send cards to Jamie Perry. Anybody want to? I could even give you a couple of those. Anybody else want to take one for Jamie? And we could. Thanks a lot. Down this morning.